Chapter 11.
Dextroteste Kanzu,
one of the cultists growled as his eyes narrowed.
The bitch is a freak too.
Probably one of Sobek's hussies,
another man spat.
He's the only god with a tongue like that.
I'd like to see what it can do.
The first man whistled, and then he made a kissy face at Leah as he held his dagger up in front of him. Leah suddenly threw her head forward, and her tongue shot out like a cracking whip. It wrapped around the cultist's wrist that held his dagger with a wet, sticky schluck, and then Leah jerked her head upward. As she did so, her tongue went taut, and the cultist's dagger-wielding hand was yanked upward, straight into his face. The cultist screamed a moment before his own dagger stabbed into his forehead with a sickly crunch. His eyes rolled back in his head as blood oozed out from around the edges of his fresh wound. And then he wobbled a second before he collapsed. Leah's tongue snapped back into her mouth, and she simply shrugged nonchalantly.
You asked what it could do, asshole.
The blonde woman snarked. The rest of the cultists looked absolutely terrified. But then their eyes narrowed with determination as they turned back to the two of us.
In the name of Kanzu, kill these mother—
Before he could finish his sentence, I leapt forward and took a swipe at the fucker with my right claws. They stabbed into the side of the cultist's head, and the sheer force of the impact tore his skull right off his spine, with a gory spray of blood. As his headless body collapsed to the ground, I lashed out at the bastard standing to my left. His blade plunged into my arm as it headed for his face, but I was too full of rage to even notice the pain it caused. My claws stabbed into the front of the cultist's head with a wet crack, and he shrieked in agony as I lifted him up off his feet using nothing but the claws embedded in his face. A third cultist came at me with his dagger, so I simply spun around and held his comrade up in front of my body. The blade stabbed into the back of the human shield, which I then tossed away to the left and into the wall. My attacker's dagger flew away with the cultist's body, and the third motherfucker was left wide open. His eyes widened with horror as he started to summon silver magic into his hands, but it was far too late. I sprang forward, opened my mouth wide, and then let out a growl as I bit down into his skull. There was a sickly snap as my canines tore through his brains and bones like they were made of wet cardboard, and the iron taste of blood filled my mouth as it splurted all over my face. The cultist, now missing half his skull, collapsed to the ground, dead.
Nisi nos Kanzu,
another cultist sputtered, and then he held up a glowing silver hand. There was no way I was going to be able to close the gap before he got his attack off, so I had to improvise. I was a baseball player, so I was plenty used to spitting sunflower seeds, and the skull in my mouth was just an oversized version of the same thing. If the seed was jagged, sopping with blood, and formerly a part of the human body. I sucked in my breath, reared my head back, and then lurched forward as I spat out the chunk of bone and viscera in my mouth. It shot forward like it had been fired out of a cannon, and it slammed into my opponent's chest with the force of a fastball. The cultist's breath huffed out of his body as he doubled over in pain, and that was when I finished him off. I held my arms on each side of my body, took aim, and then clapped my paws together as hard as I could. The man's head exploded like an overripe watermelon when my paws clapped around it, and I felt a warm splash of blood and gore on my chest as it gushed out from his newly created stump. A blast of silver light shot past my right side, and I turned as it careened straight for Leah, but the blonde woman didn't even flinch. Instead, she simply let out a scoff, crouched down, and then jumped up over the beam like it was no more than a twig on a hiking trail. As she jumped, Leah twisted her body around so it was upside down, and then placed her hands and feet up on the ceiling. Much to my surprise, that's where she stuck. The woman looked like frickin' Spider-Man as she clung upside down to the roof of her dorm room, and then she threw her head forward and launched her tongue once more. This time, the red appendage wrapped itself around a cultist's neck, and then yanked him face first down onto the ground. The fucker let out a gurgle as he reached up and tried to pry away Leah's tongue with his fingers, but it was no use. She began to suck it back into her body, and all the cultist could do was thrash around in vain as he was dragged across the floor. Eventually, the bastard was lifted up off the ground, and he began to kick his feet violently as he tried to break free of Leah's grip. As much as I wanted to watch the fucker choke to death, there were still more enemies to deal with. I supposed listening to his gurgles and gasps as the life drained out of his body was going to have to be enough. Two more cultists entered the room, and I couldn't help but ask a rhetorical question.
How many more of you moon-worshipping fucks are there?
Enough!
The man in the red robe frowned, and then he let out a sharp whistle. As he did so, the two cultists who'd entered the room sprang away from the door in opposite directions, and a split second later, two more OLG members stepped through the threshold. Two OLG members with their hands aglow with silver.
Fuck.
I leapt forward in a last-ditch attempt to take them out, but it was too late. They both threw out their hands and fucking hadoukened a blast of pure moonlight straight at me. I grunted as the powerful beam slammed into my chest. I flipped backward as a searing hot pain tore through my chest, and then I landed on all fours. Instantly, I stood up, planted my back paws onto the ground as hard as I could, and pushed back against the attack as best I could. The OLG fuckers continued to hold their magical blast, and my chest hurt like a bitch. The distinct smell of burning hair filled the room as the moonbeam gave me a fucking homemade chest waxing. But I simply pushed through the pain and began to walk forward.
Kanzu da mihi viras,
the cultists said in unison, and then their beam got even bigger. A wave of searing hot pain spread across my torso, but I wasn't about to give up now. So I gritted my teeth and let out a yowl as I continued forward. Two dagger-wielding cultists tried to flank me while I was occupied with the moonbeam. They each came at me from a different direction, and I was pretty much helpless against their attack.
Carter!
Leah gasped, and then her tongue shot across the room.
Ah!
The cultist on my right screamed, and then I saw his feet get pulled out from under him. The one on my left, though, still had a completely free shot at me. The cultist held his dagger up over his head and muttered something in a language I didn't understand before he brought it down on my shoulder. The blade plunged into the muscles beside my left shoulder blade with a wet schluck, and I let out a roar of pain as it dug into my flesh. Too bad I had this fucker right where I wanted him. I quickly lifted up my back left leg and slammed it into the cultist's shin, and it splintered into a million gory pieces as he wailed like a fucking banshee and went down onto one knee. Then, while he was stunned, I unsheathed the index claw on my left paw and slashed it across his soft throat. He let out a gasp as the white-hot claw ripped through his flesh, and then he spat out a mouthful of blood as the same dark crimson liquid began to flow from the gash in his neck. I turned my attention back to the OLG members with the moonbeam, but I could hear my opponent gurgling on his last few breaths.
"Why isn't he going down?"
one of the cultists asked his partner as his eyes grew to the size of saucers.
I bet you have to ask that question a lot, don't you? I growled through the pain in my chest. When you're trying to suck each other off?
The cultists repeated their earlier incantation, and the beam grew even bigger.
Fuck.
Even though I was still standing and pushing back against the blast, the hot, tingling sensation had now spread across my entire chest like a swarm of fire ants. And I just assumed my frickin' nerve endings were being burned off at this point. Still, I couldn't give up now. I needed to keep pushing forward. Then, out of the corner of my eye, I saw Leah's desk. Bingo. It wasn't gonna stop the moonbeam, but I figured it could at least give me a fighting chance and a reprieve from the agony. I counted down from three as the pain in my chest threatened to overtake me completely. My vision began to dull as I snarled and hissed, and my body started to sway. It was now or never. In one swift motion, I reached out, grabbed the cheap wooden desk, and hurled it at the two cultists. As I expected, the moonbeam overtook the desk, and the very fibers of the wood evaporated before my eyes. However, that split second was all I needed. I growled as I lurched forward and closed the gap between me and the two OLG members. As I jumped, I held my paws up over my head and then sunk my claws right onto the shoulders of the cultists. There was a loud pop and a spray of blood as their arms were ripped straight out of their sockets, and they let out blood-curdling screams as their gore spewed from their torsos. Before they could make too much of a commotion, I slashed my claws across the OLG members' chests in a downward motion. Their chest cavities opened up like an overripe melon as their hearts, lungs, and rib cages were exposed to the air, and they sputtered in shock as they tried to hold their own organs in. It didn't work. Their eyes rolled back in their heads, and they collapsed on the floor as their bodies twitched out the last bit of life from their souls. I stumbled backward as I reached up and touched the wound on my chest. The hair had been completely burned away, and the skin underneath was bubbly, raw, and charred. It honestly felt like I was touching a piece of chicken that had been left in the oven for too long.
Ow!
I growled, as I winced from my own touch.
That's gonna leave a mark for sure.
Are you all right, Carter?
Leah asked, and I glanced over my shoulder just in time to see her drop down to the floor.
That looked like it hurt. Are you still Carter in there, or are you somebody completely different that's taken over his body, or is he, like, possessed or something?
It's me, Leah. I'm still Carter. I'm just a werepanther, that's all.
Oh, that's all,
Leah said sarcastically.
You're a bastard of Bast,
a man said in a dull, gravelly voice.
And for that, you are a scourge on this earth.
I looked over to see three more cultists enter the room. Two of the bastards had the usual dagger-moonbeam combo, but the third one appeared to be a bit different. He looked much older than the rest of these men, and around his waist he wore a thick leather belt, encrusted with all sorts of silver and jewels. I remembered that outfit from that night in the woods, where I'd first transformed into a werepanther. This guy was a high priest. Not that it made any difference, he would die just the same.
Sending in the old man, huh? I taunted with a half-smile. You must really be running out of options. Mind your tongue, bastard of Bast,
the cultist on the right snarled, but the high priest simply held up his hand.
Now, my brother,
the high priest said.
There is no need for anger. This abomination will be dead soon, as Khonzu commands it.
As the old man spoke, he reached down and grabbed the hilt of a weapon on his belt. The handle of the weapon was made of a dark black wood, and circular, decorative pieces set on both ends of the crossguard, as well as the bottom of the hilt. The silver piece on the bottom had been engraved with all sorts of symbols I'd never seen before in my life, though I was sure they had something to do with the god Khonzu. The pieces on the crossguard were embedded with a singular moonstone, whose pearl glow shone bright under the lights of the dorm room. Most peculiar of all, though, was the sword's blade. The weapon itself was about the size of a machete, but it was tapered down to a point like a rapier, and it didn't even look like it was made of metal at all. The blade of the high priest's sword appeared to be completely shaped out of gray stone, peppered with tiny circular dents, like a gray strawberry without its seeds.
Is that what I think it is?
Leah asked out loud.
Now you shall experience the full power of Khonzu,
the high priest said as he readied his weapon, and then he charged. As he did so, the other two cultists blasted at us with their moonbeams. I dove to the left seconds before the silver blast shot past my position, and then I heard a loud crash as it struck the window behind us. As I sprang to my feet, I saw Leah running along the side of the wall like a spider who was determined to catch her prey. She launched her tongue out of her mouth as she ran, and it grabbed onto a cultist's arm with a wet plop. Then Leah tossed the fucker into the wall and kept bounding forward. Yeah, she had things under control. Which meant I just needed to focus on these last two men. The older man moved way faster than I would have expected, so I was forced to duck out of the way as his sword slashed past my throat. I tried to end the battle quickly with a swipe of my claws, but the fucker was able to jump back before I could eviscerate him. I rolled out of the way of another moonbeam, somersaulted to my feet, and then was instantly forced to dodge another sword slash. Before I could attack the high priest again, though, his crony shot another blast of silver magic my way.
Ah, fuck!
If this were a one-on-one fight, the old man wouldn't stand a chance. But as long as that other guy was giving him covering fire, I was too busy playing defense to do anything drastic. Thankfully, I had some backup, too.
Leah!
I ordered the blonde woman, as I looked over and saw her throw her opponent into the wall again.
Quit playing around with them, please! I need some help over here!
On it!
Leah said, and then she slammed the cultist's head into the wall, and it twisted awkwardly upon his neck as his body went limp. I sidestepped another attack from the high priest's sword before the other fucker's moonbeam slammed into my right shoulder. I let out a growl as my body spun around from the impact, but then I quickly launched myself forward and up against the wall. Thank fuck I did, because I heard the high priest's sword clang against the ground not half a second later. As I turned back around, the High Priest was coming at me, and the OLG member by the doorway was charging up another moonbeam. However, he didn't get it off, because as he clapped his hands together, Leah's tongue wrapped around them both by the wrists. She yanked them upward just as he unleashed his attack, and the resulting blast of silver magic engulfed his face as he let out a short, panicked yelp. The moonbeam subsided instantly, and smoke billowed from the fucker's face as he fell onto his knees and then collapsed to the ground, dead. Which just left me and the old man. Now that all his backup was gone, he was fucked. The High Priest tried to run me through the stomach with his weapon, but I simply stepped to the side. As I dodged, I threw out my left paw, stabbed them into his arm, and twisted it back behind his body. And the old man let out a panicked scream as I slammed his face up against the wall of the dorm room.
Not so tough now, are ya? I growled into his ear. You came after me? After my woman? I'm gonna tear the life from your body!
I could hear the man's heart racing at 1,000 beats per minute, and I could sense the adrenaline coursing through his veins. Most importantly, I could smell his fear. And it was the sweetest fucking smell of all. I sank my teeth into the High Priest's carotid artery from behind, pulled back, and ripped off a giant hunk of his flesh. Blood gushed out from the wound, and within seconds he went into shock. The High Priest's body twitched and spasmed as the light went out in his eyes. And then he went limp.
Was that all of them?
I think so,
I said, as I looked out the window and down into the common area.
They must have thought they could bum-rush us or something. We gotta get out of here before they find the bodies. People probably heard that shit, so best-case scenario, we've got your RA on his way up here. And worst case, the cops are coming.
We can't just run! This is my dorm room, Carter! And a bunch of people saw you come up here. The police could easily pin the murders on us if they find all of this.
Well, what the hell do you suggest? I don't have Ada's cleaner guy on speed dial.
We don't need him.
Leah shook her head.
Don't get freaked out, okay?
Trust me.
I said, with a wince, as I touched my wound.
At this point, nothing can freak me out.
Okay.
The blonde woman said with a nod.
Just make sure nobody's watching.
How? They broke down your door.
I don't know. Hold it up against the hinges or something.
All right.
I limped over to the fallen door, picked it up off the ground, and then gently set it back on the spot where it had originally been. There was a giant hole in the frame where the door had been splintered, but otherwise it seemed to at least fit in the spot pretty snugly. It wasn't a perfect solution, but at least it would work until we figured out how to clean up the bodies. As I turned back around, my jaw hit the fucking floor. Leah's jaw was unhinged wide open like a snake's, and she had one of the cultist's legs sticking out of her mouth.
What?
I sputtered. Leah tipped her head back, and the rest of the corpse slid down her throat in a single gulp. It seemed to constrict as it went down, and I heard a disgusting cracking noise as it was compacted into what I assumed was mush.
I told you it would be weird!
How did you do that? I asked with wide eyes.
I don't know.
The blonde woman said sarcastically and gestured to my werepanther body.
How do you do that? This is just how I was born, Carter.
Leah's tongue shot out across the room and snagged onto another dead cultist, and I watched with macabre curiosity as she dragged the body toward her, unhinged her jaw again, and then proceeded to pull it up into her open mouth. Then my ears picked up the sound of approaching footsteps.
Fuck! Somebody's coming!
Of course they are,
Leah said through her mouthful of dead cultist.
They probably heard the screams and bangs.
This might be hard to explain, but I guess we can...
My words were cut off by a knock on the other side of the door.
Leah?
The voice of the RA, Aiden, asked.
I've gotten like 6 noise complaints in the last 10 minutes. And who were those men who said they were here to see you? You know you're only allowed one visitor of the opposite gender at a time.
Leah swallowed the rest of her meal and then stared at me with wide eyes.
Hold on, Aiden!
She said in her most fake-sounding voice.
I'll be there in a second!
What are you doing?
I whispered as softly as I could.
It's just Aiden. I can handle him, but make sure the door doesn't fall over when I'm talking to him.
Leah walked past me, adjusted her shirt so it was covering her body completely, and then motioned for me to open the door. I cracked it open just enough for her to slide out, and then she pulled it shut behind her. I took a step away from the splintered door, since I really didn't want the RA to look through the cracks and see me all were-panthered out, and then I held my breath and crossed my fingers.
Who were those people? They said they were here to visit you.
And you told them where I live? Why the fuck did you do that? They could have been stalkers or rapists. You aren't allowed to just give our personal information to random men. I could get you fired and kicked out of the school. You know the rules better than anyone else.
Suddenly, I heard Aiden's body change. His heart sped up, and the blood in his veins seemed to slow much faster than before. His shoe tapped on the floor in short, rapid succession, and I sensed he was a bit embarrassed about Leah calling him out.
I'm so sorry. Are you okay? Were they rapists?
Yeah, Aiden,
Leah said in a sarcastic tone.
They were a bunch of bloodthirsty cultists who wanted to rape and kill me, but I totally killed them all and ate their bodies instead.
Pretty bold to just straight up tell the truth, but I dug it.
You know, very funny. I'm not trying to be a jerk here, Leah. I just want to make sure you're following the rules.
If you must know, they were part of my LARPing troupe. They were here to deliver a summons to our next event, but you can't just let anyone come up without telling me, okay?
LARPing? You don't seem like the kind of girl to be into live-action roleplay.
And why not? It's fun.
No reason, Aiden said with an audible gasp. And about the noise complaints?
How much do you want to know, Aiden?
Leah asked with a sly chuckle.
You let my boyfriend in earlier, right? Well, he and I were making a lot of noise, so I turned on an action movie to try and block it out. But he had me up against the wall as he was fucking me, and things got a little carried away.
I'm gonna stop you right there,
Aiden said in a quick sputter, and his heart seemed to be racing a mile a minute now.
I don't need to know all about your intimate moments. Just try to keep it down next time.
And you try not to let random dudes come up to my room. Now get lost, dude.
With that, I heard footfalls on the other side of the door. They got softer and softer until, finally, they came to a stop. I heard the elevator ding, and then they ceased completely. Leah slowly pushed the door back open, slid into the room, and let out a long sigh as she wiped her brow.
That was close. I'm usually pretty good about cracking Aiden like an egg, but I had to get a bit creative with this situation.
You did great, I winked. Now every girl in school is going to think I fucked you so hard the police got called.
I mean, isn't that what happened?
I started to laugh, but the pain in my chest suddenly returned, and I stopped. Leah's eyes grew soft as her face stretched into a frown, and then she stepped forward and reached out to my wound.
Careful. It hurts like a bitch, and I don't want to, like, accidentally snap at you or anything.
Do you need medical attention for the burn? That looks really bad.
I'll be fine once I transform back. But I don't know how the hell I'm going to get to Janine without somebody seeing me.
Why do you need Janine? Does she know a spell to turn you back?
So far, she's been the only one who can calm me down enough for the transformation to occur. I continued through a wince.
The adrenaline of the battle was now wearing off, which meant I could feel every single cut, stab wound, burn, and bruise on my body. And they hurt like hell.
What does she usually do? I can try to do it.
This is gonna sound strange.
You literally just watched me eat two full-grown humans. It can't be that weird.
Well, Janine pets me like a house cat.
Oh,
Leah said with a large grin.
I think I can do that.
I hope it works.
I sighed as I laid down on my belly.
Because if not, I'm not sure how long it'll be before I pass out from the pain.
The wound in my chest hurt like hell, but this was the easiest way for Leah to get over and reach my head. So I winced, fought through the pain, and hoped it'd be all over soon. Leah walked over to me, placed a soft hand on my head, and then began to scratch my right ear. As she did so, a wave of pure euphoria shot through my body, and I began to purr happily in response. The sound made her scratch even more aggressively, and soon my right back paw started to thump against the ground. My blonde lover let out a giggle at the sight, and then she proceeded to rub down my back. Leah's touch was gentle and soothing, and my pulse started to lessen as all the primal urges in my brain began to die down. I no longer felt the need to protect her, nor did I feel the need to kill the cultists. All I felt was calm serenity. My muscles began to contract as they shrunk back to their normal size, as did the canines in my teeth and the snout on my face. The fur on my body thinned itself down to a few patches of black human body hair, and my ears returned back to the sides of my head. More importantly, though, the giant burn wound on my chest started to heal itself up, and the scar tissue flaked off to reveal a fresh, unscathed patch of skin underneath. Within seconds, I was back to normal.
Oh,
Leah giggled as she gave my bare ass a slap.
Now you're the one down on all fours.
We didn't do that position. I reminded the beautiful blonde. But we totally could next time. I got up onto my feet, walked over to my discarded clothes, and then pulled my spandex shorts up around my waist. Leah let out a soft noise as she looked over my naked body. But then she simply smiled and shook her head.
That's gotta get really annoying. I bet you go through clothes faster than a 16-year-old girl.
Well, that's why I've got these spandex, I explained, as I pointed to my underwear. They're the only thing that doesn't tear to shreds when I transform. In a way, I'm actually kind of glad I was naked this time. I'd hate to have to borrow some of your clothes to get out of here.
I'm not sure if any of them would fit you.
Leah smirked.
I just have to send you on your walk of shame in your underwear.
It wouldn't be a walk of shame, I teased, as I ran my hand over my six-pack. I bet I'd have every girl on campus all over me if I walked around without a shirt.
But you only have eyes for me. And Janine. And Ada.
Like I said, there's enough of me to go around. But that... Hold on. We've got a lot more important things to talk about before we jump right back into bantering.
Exactly.
Leah nodded as she pointed to the dead bodies around us.
Like who these guys are and why they wanted to kill us and how you can turn into a giant deadly black cat when you get angry.
It's not when I get angry, I said with a smirk. That'd be the Hulk. I'll explain everything, Leah, I promise. But you also need to tell me what's going on with you.
Let's finish clearing up these bodies first,
Leah said as she looked around the room. Fair enough. Apparently, the beautiful blonde bombshell I was into was also a paranormal creature of some sort. One that could fight with her tongue, stick to walls, and swallow an entire human whole like a frickin' snake. I had no clue what I'd just gotten myself into, but I was more than happy to have another unique lover as part of the team.